You're listening to The Naked Scientists. I'm Chris Smith, and also here this week is Kat Arney. In a moment, we'll be going into our main topic for the week, which is the subject of norovirus, the dreaded winter vomiting bug. Just to remind you, though, we have our quiz running this week. We always ask you a scientific teaser. We're asking you, if you took a norovirus and you scaled it up to the size of a grapefruit, how big would the corresponding person be that it would be infecting? How big would that person be? If you think you'd like to speculate, and wild answers are welcome, email chris@thenakedscientist.com or you can tweet @NakedScientist. We're also interested in any questions or comments you have about the subject of norovirus, because we have this week assembled a panel of experts. In a second, we'll hear from Ian Goodfellow, who's Professor of Virology at Adam Brooks and in Cambridge University, and he works on norovirus and trying to understand how it causes disease. We'll also hear from Lydia Drum-Wright, who's starting a new project to look at how noroviruses get round in the community and get round in the hospital. We'll find out practical tips on how you can stop norovirus spreading in your home and in your hospital from Rachel Thaxer, who's the infection control lead at Adam Brooks Hospital, and we'll also look at the cost implications of noro. What does it do in a health service setting? Keith McNeil is the chief executive of Adam Brooks Hospital, and he'll be explaining more about it. First, I caught up with Ian Goodfellow earlier this week to find out what actually is norovirus.
So noroviruses are small, highly infectious viruses that cause gastroenteritis, and they're typically referred to in the public press as the causative agent of winter vomiting disease. But outbreaks occur all year round. The reason they're referred to as winter vomiting disease is simply because of the peak incidence appears to occur in and around the winter months.
Why is that?
It's probable that they tend to survive longer in the environment, in the cold and wet, but also people tend to spend a bit more time together during the winter. The reality is we still don't know. It's one of the very important questions that need to be addressed for noroviruses.
And when you say the agent lurks in the environment, give us a sort of a snapshot view. What do these viruses look like and how do they get into the environment?
So these are tiny, tiny little viruses, one of the smallest viruses around. The virus coat or the shell is made up entirely of protein. So this makes them particularly resistant to inactivation by detergents and things like that. They get into the environment primarily through the vomiting or through the diarrhea episodes that people would have, and they get into the sewer systems and they contaminate the water courses. They often will also contaminate shellfish, and people will get a norovirus infection from eating contaminated, uncooked shellfish.
And when you say that it can stay in the environment, how long, if a person is symptomatic in an area, how long will that area retain virus that's capable of infecting someone?
Probably in the region of between 7 to 10 days, if not longer. If it's untreated, there's probably going to remain enough infectious material there to infect somebody for at least a week. And this is partly because you need to be exposed to very few number of particles to become infected. So less than 20 particles are thought to be enough to cause an infection.
And when a person is symptomatic, to put that into perspective, how much virus are they shedding?
An individual would normally shed somewhere in the region of 1 million or more virus particles per milliliter of feces or vomit, and you need only 20 to infect an individual. So each infected individual can infect many million others.
Wow, it's amazing to think there's millions of infectious doses in every single person, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So when I ingest norovirus, I've got to pick it up from the environment. It presumably gets either onto the food I'm eating or onto my fingers and gets into my mouth, and I then swallow the particles. What happens next?
So this is a very good question. In fact, we don't really know much about the life cycle of noroviruses, particularly in the gut. So, for example, we know it grows in the intestine, but the reality is we don't know precisely what cells in the intestine it infects. What we do know is it basically mimics the body's response to eating something that was poisonous. It stimulates this response known as the emetic response, where effectively your body will eject all the contents of the stomach. And this is the vomiting episodes that you get. And then you will flood the intestine with fluid to try and wash out any poison. And we think what the virus is doing is stimulating this process either directly or indirectly by interacting with certain cells of your nervous system.
What about other animals? Because people often ask me, can my dog give me diarrhea? Do we exchange these infections with animals, or is this purely a human infection?
This is a very good question. Norovirus has been identified in a whole range of animals, and there appears to be very specific noroviruses for cats, for dogs, for cows, for pigs, for example. But there is limited evidence now that human norovirus can be found in the pig population. Whether or not there's a zoonotic transfer from pigs to humans is not entirely known. And in fact, there's limited data as well to say that in some cases, human noroviruses can be found in dogs. And this is something that we're working on in my lab to try and see if this is a common occurrence. At present, we think that human noroviruses are not a zoonotic disease, so they primarily infect humans.
And when I catch it, am I immune to it almost immediately that I've caught it? Is that why the symptoms go away? Because the symptoms do go away pretty quickly. Within 48 hours, you're feeling right as rain again, usually, aren't you?
You are, that's right. But it's likely you don't generate a very good immune response. And we think one of the reasons these are such effective pathogens is simply because you don't generate long-lasting antibody responses to this virus. And it's more a process known as your innate immune response that clears the virus. So the virus is not there for very long, therefore you don't generate very good antibodies. So you can be reinfected probably once every year by the same virus.
Gosh, and are there also lots of other strains circulating? So although I've had one type previously, I may in fact pick up another next week to which I have no immunity and I can go down with it again.
Yes, again, so one of the features of these viruses is that every time they multiply or copy their genetic material, they make mistakes. And this means the virus can evolve very rapidly. Typically, in any one year, you find that there are at least one dominant strain or isolate of norovirus, but that will evolve. There'll always be minor species within that. And in fact, and within any individual who's infected, whilst it may be one strain of virus, each individual virus particle will contain a slightly different sequence. And this gives the virus the ability to evolve away from any immune response.
And does that frustrate efforts to make a vaccine then?
This causes a lot of problems with the vaccine production. However, there's very encouraging data coming out from a company known as Takeda. Their data suggests that you can protect from infection if you immunize individuals with the same type of norovirus strain, and that will protect primarily from symptoms. So less than 50% of individuals will develop symptoms, and this can prevent spread. It's likely, though, if norovirus vaccine becomes viable, it's likely it will need to be changed every year, very similar to the influenza virus vaccine. However, us and a number of labs around the world are trying to develop new vaccines that give cross-protective immunity. Probably in the next 5 to 10 years, they'd be looking at larger scale trials of human norovirus vaccines.
Thank you very much to Ian Goodfellow from the Department of Pathology at the University of Cambridge.